Our study in 1 Samuel has kind of taken on the intersection of the lives of two men. Really, a young man, maybe a shepherd boy, a teenager perhaps, named David, and a man a little bit older who's been the king of Israel for a while named Saul. We are studying through the book of 1 Samuel, and there's a lot of stories. We're not hitting every story, but I'm kind of hitting a little bit of every story and then reading through the chapters and looking at some of the significant themes that I think are there and that catch my attention. Last week we talked about the downfall of King Saul and the spiral down that his life took. If you're looking for a tragic character in the Old Testament, he's one of them. If you're looking to see a man who started well and had everything going for him, that's Saul. You're looking for a man who took God for granted and began to cut the corners and finally decided that he would make his own decisions and he turned his back on God. You got it in a man named Saul, and his life paid the price. His pride, his disobedience set him on a path toward destruction. He had an opportunity to step back, and when he was confronted by the prophet Samuel, he had an opportunity to say, I was wrong. I've disobeyed God. But instead, what Saul did is he just made excuses about who he was and what he did and the decisions he made. He blamed other people. He refused to say before God, I was wrong. I have disobeyed you, God. If he would have done that, God could have changed his heart and he would have been on a total different path, but not Saul. Instead, Saul decided that he would hold on to he did what he wanted to do, and his life totally went down and down and down, and all through the rest of 1 Samuel tells the stories, and we're going to look at bits and pieces of his life, because his life doesn't end here in this part where we're going to read today. It goes on for many chapters and many years, and he just continually, we can't get out of 1 Samuel without continuing to look at Saul. And on the other hand, we have David, who now emerges. Last week we looked at the story of his anointing and how God did choose this shepherd boy, seven older brothers, all who were taller and stronger and older and wiser, you would think, or you would guess anyway. They looked the part, but David was chosen. The anointing of David is a very precious story. It's a very good picture of the heart of God and how he looks at people. And so David is very important in the story. And we're going to look at stories of both Saul and David in the weeks ahead and how their lives interact and intersect. And we're going to compare them, the attitude of Saul, the attitude of David. The choices of Saul, the choices of David. And in almost every story we're going to look at in the next few weeks, they're going to include both of those men, both of these two characters, and who they were, and why one of them became a man who was called, who was described as after God's own heart, and the other man, absolutely, his life is a total disaster from this time forward. We're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning, and we're going to start at verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. So the second half of Samuel 16. It begins like this in verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. This scripture And this text this morning, especially verse 14, is a deep thing to read in the Bible and from the heart of God. When we read about evil spirits in the Scriptures, it sure brings up a lot of questions. I don't understand everything about this passage. I don't understand everything about what happened to Saul. But I know that verse 14 says that the Spirit of God left him and he was troubled by evil spirits. This is a difficult passage. But even deeper than that, this is a heavy thing for us to think about who God is and how God works. Verse 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Have you wondered just when and where God's Spirit will come to you? Have you thought much about, what if I cried out to God but He wouldn't hear me? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to absolutely not hear God's voice ever again? Wonder what it would be like to not feel a conscience within you. To do whatever you wanted to because you demanded your own way, and God would say, okay, you have your own way, I'm going to withdraw the Holy Spirit from you. That's what happened to King Saul. We don't read that over and over again. This is a unique story in the Bible, but it is a story that is deep, and it is something to wrestle with, and what you believe about God. Do you realize that God will never take from you the choice of right and wrong that He gives you to make? God's not going to force you to believe in Him. God's not going to force you to serve Him. God's not going to force you to do anything. He will always give you the right to decide right and wrong. The power of choice. Different words are used to describe this, the will. God gives you a free will that you can choose. In this story, there is a man who disobeyed and walked away from the voice of God long enough that God said, okay, you get what you want, I'm withdrawing my spirit, and then you'll see what will happen. You'll see the consequences. That's what happened to King Saul. He disobeyed God long enough. He had a hard heart. He didn't put God where He belonged. And finally, God said, okay, I'm withdrawing from you. Imagine what it would be like not to have a conscience, not to have any spirit of God speaking to you. We know and we believe, the Bible says that when we become a Christian, God gives us His Holy Spirit. I believe it's the same Spirit in this verse. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed Saul. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit God would send at certain times to certain people to help them, to guide them, to empower them, for the leaders, for people to prophesy. Then the Holy Spirit would be withdrawn. It's a little bit different than the New Testament day. In the New Testament, we're told that if you're a believer, that God sends His Holy Spirit to you. However, the New Testament doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is going to stick with you and force you to do anything. God offers His Holy Spirit to every Christian and every believer, but yet every person has their own will. You can listen to Him. The Bible in the New Testament talks about walking in step with the Spirit. It talks about listening to the Spirit. It talks about not grieving the Spirit of God. The truth is, God's Holy Spirit is available to you and me. However, by our actions and by our attitude and our response to Him, God's voice can become silent in our lives. That's what happened to King Saul. God withdrew His Holy Spirit from him. Can you imagine what that was like for a man to have been promised? God said to Saul when he had him anointed king, Saul, if you'll listen to me, if you'll obey me, I will give you my spirit, and my spirit will show you what to do. He will lead you. He will help you and guide you. And so Saul decided, okay, I don't need your spirit, God. I'm not going to listen to what you say. So God said, okay, and his spirit was taken away. I've talked about the downward spiral. Again, everything that happened in Saul's life from here on is summarized by the first part of verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. How did that happen? Why did that happen? It also says an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. You know, I don't understand a lot about demons and about angels. It's one of those things that we know exist, and we do know some things in the Bible about evil spirits and about angels, and there's a lot of speculation about angels out there. There's more books written about angels I've heard than any other topic except the second coming of Jesus. Angels and the second coming, more people speculate about than any other doctrines the Bible has. But we speculate a lot about angels and demons, and the Bible does tell us some things about angels and demons. We do know that they're absolutely real. The Bible is clear that demons exist. Evil spirits exist. They're described in the Old Testament, They were described in the New Testament, and they exist in our world today. If you wonder, you wonder about what you believe and what you think exists in the world, I want you to know that the Bible is very clear. There are angels out there and there are demons. We do not control them. We don't click our fingers and they appear. They don't appear to help people at our will. God is in control of the spirit world. We don't always understand what he's doing, but we also know that God has allowed Satan to have some control over the demon world. So when we read about demons in the Bible, especially we read that Satan is sending his, in the book of Revelation and prophecies, we read about the evil spirits and how God has allowed them to exist. Demons are real. We may not see them. We may not understand how they're at work, but they do exist. We also know that God has ultimate control over every spirit in eternity, over the human spirit, over evil spirits, over angel spirits, and they're subject to God's direction. This scripture is hard for us to understand, that God withdrew his Holy Spirit, but he allowed the evil spirits to come into Saul's life. We see in this story particularly, there's a lot we don't understand, but we do know that the spirit was a result of Saul's disobedience. The reason that Saul was plagued with a demon or an evil spirit was that he had rejected the authority of God. He had rejected that God was in control of his life, and God gave him over to something that we might not quite understand. But when you reject the authority of God, you open up your heart and your life to the evil spirits. Whether they're spiritual beings that exist in the unseen and the unknown, and they speak to the mind. That seems to be what evil spirits do. They speak to the minds of people, that people are capable, become capable of such evil and wicked things and things that are painful and tragic. And we know that the enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Satan wants for your life. And so Satan is going to try to do that. And if he can plan in your mind and your heart, if I could just call it stupid ways to think, destructive ways to think, he will do that. He will make you think that you're in charge. He will make you think that what you're about to do really is not that bad. He will try to make you think that the risky behavior that you might be involved in, hey, it happens to other people, but it will never happen to me. This story is a great wake-up call. It is a reminder to every single one of us that when we reject truth and we reject what God says and puts in our hearts and our minds and conscience, when we reject that, we are opening our spirit to an evil spirit. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that Saul's life went downward because he rejected the authority of God. And when he did, he began to pay the consequences of it. The consequences were ugly, they were painful, and they were tragic. He hardened his heart, and his life began to unravel. And one of the painful things about Saul is after this happened, he lived a long time in it. You know, you think sometimes you may do something that's wrong and you pay the penalty that day and maybe you lose your life. Maybe you lose a relationship. Maybe you throw away your career. Maybe you throw away your marriage. You know, 1 minute, 1 instant. That happens that way sometimes. But I'll tell you what happened to Saul is he threw it all away and then he lived in the aftermath of the ugly, nasty, painful, demonic struggle of life. This is a heavy story. A lot of stories in the Bible are not heavy, but this is one of them. So if you want to study 1 Samuel and you want to study what happened to Saul, this is a place to park yourself for a little bit and read over it again and what happened to Saul and why. We know that Saul paid a terrible price for his pride. Saul hardened his heart, and he fell further and further away from God. During that same time, as you have Saul throwing away everything and his life becoming so miserable, on the other hand, you have the emergence of this shepherd boy named David. This boy that was short, and he was young, and his brothers probably looked at him and thought, you know, he's the run of the family, the word in the Hebrew says, and yet God chose him to be king. So you have this very unlikely candidate, but God sees something in his heart. God knows his potential. God knows who he is on the inside. Even though maybe his father didn't, his brothers didn't, Samuel didn't, nobody else knew, but God knew about David and who he was on the inside because God sees the heart. And so we see little glimpses of who David is. First, we know he's a shepherd. We read stories later on of the kind of shepherd that he was, and if you want to call it this, the work ethic of David and his bravery. And we know that he was the youngest of the sons, so he's the one that had to do the dirty work, the outside cold work at night and taking care of the animals. We're also told that he was very brave. Later on, we read that he faced down a lion and a bear and was able to kill them because he called out to God, and God helped him to do that. He was a brave man. He later became a great warrior. He's described as a warrior. He certainly will prove that later in his life, as he would often go out in battle and facing the odds, great odds of even survival. David would do it because he depended on God. And he said, if God is with me and God leads me, God will help me to do it. And over again, that's what happens in David's life. Again, not to say he was perfect, because he also failed terribly in his life. But the difference between David and Saul is that when David sinned and God confronted him, David said, God, I'm so sorry. And he stepped back from his sin. And he asked God to forgive him, and God did. And so David became a man after God's own heart. Not because he was so great in every way, but because he had a heart of faith that sought God. You compare David and Saul, you have these comparisons of character. Comparisons of a man who had it all and thought he knew it all and decided that he knew better than what God did. And then his life went into that deep spiral down. And then you have David, a man who started out very humble, and God used him in a great and a mighty way. We also read of him that he spoke well. He carried himself well. He was good-looking, fine-looking, he's described. And so we ask, well, how did David get involved in the life of Saul? Because from this chapter on, their stories are intertwined until Saul dies. And that's a long time. That's not a few weeks or months. That's many years later. Well, I talked about the evil spirit that troubled Saul and what that meant and how scary that was. Well, Saul seemed to have this problem that there would be times that he would be in the palace and maybe his mind would start to go to things that were not good for him. Maybe fears, maybe conscience, maybe Saul saw what he lost. He began to understand that he was no longer to be king, and things troubled him. Who knows what it was that troubled Saul, but he became very troubled, and all the people around him didn't know what to do about it. They knew that God had appointed him, anointed him, and chosen him as king, and so all his servants didn't know what to do, but Saul became kind of uncontrollable. We get the picture of him became depressed, probably paranoid. He was very hard to work with, whatever it is, and he would become so troubled in his spirit again, kind of the unseen, the unknown on the inside. And so they didn't know what to do with Saul. And someone had a suggestion, well, maybe if we had music for Saul. They may well have known a lot more about music than I do, but if someone could play music for Saul, maybe it would calm his spirit and just kind of get him to calm back down and make good decisions and be rational. And this happened many times. And the Spirit of the Lord would come on Saul, and he would become troubled, and they didn't know what to do. And finally, the servants began to talk about it. And one of the servants said, well, I know of a young man. I know of a shepherd boy who plays music. He plays a harp. And maybe he could come and he could play for Saul. And so they send the message to Jesse and say, Jesse, we understand that your youngest son, David, plays the harp. And we want him to come to the palace and play his harp for King Saul when he gets troubled. And, you know, here's God working in the story. I'm sure there's a lot that happened that we don't have in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But God's at work in this story. God knew where David was taking care of the sheep. And so here this knows this guy named David, and he recommends. And so they go and they say, Jesse, send your son David to the king. He calls for him. And, you know, you imagine how Jesse thought, what he thought about. Jesse knew that God had chosen him to be king. I don't know if other people knew about that or just Jesse and his family, but I imagine Jesse was a little concerned about that. Send David to the man he's going to replace, that God told him he was going to replace. How is Saul going to feel about that? They've already seen the behavior of Saul. He has started to become, he started to change his character, the way he looks, and we'll see very soon his anger and hostility and his jealousy, and him he just, again, spiraling away from God. So Jesse sends David along with some gifts to the king, and so David goes to the king, and sure enough, the king gets upset, and whatever that was, I mean, it probably was a lot uglier than I'm describing. I'm not sure. In order to have that kind of action, it must have been pretty bad. You ever been around somebody that's really upset? You don't seem to be coming out of it, and you don't know what to do, and you're just not sure what to do about that. And so David begins to play his harp, and whatever God allows that to bring some comfort to Saul. And it would seem like, if we read the story literally, that God then tells that evil spirit, okay, I want you to back off of Saul. And I don't know if it's that way or not. I'm really not sure. But whatever, the harp helps and the music helps. And Saul is somehow calmed down by that. And so David becomes very important to King Saul. At this point in his life, David becomes very important to the king. Saul is comforted and quieted by David's playing. Saul is pleased with David, and David is faithful. We read this little clip of a story, and we see the faithfulness of David. He does what he's supposed to. He does what he's asked to do. He does what God has told him to do. He goes and he plays for the king. You look at verse 21 and 22, we see the reaction of the king. Verse 21, David came to Saul and entered into his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. In other words, David was what he was supposed to be. He did what he was asked to do. He played for the king, and he tried to comfort him. We see in David here, I mean, kind of between the lines, but we'll see later on how David is so loyal to Saul. I mean, David tries everything he can to help Saul, to get Saul to change, to give Saul the opportunity to turn back from whatever it is that he has fallen into so deeply that God's removed his spirit. But David keeps trying. He's faithful to him. Later on, he's loyal to him. Saul's trying to kill him, and David has the opportunity to get him, but he won't do it. He's not going to do that. That's not who he is. That's not his character. We see a lot about David's character in that story that we're going to come to. David is a faithful servant. He becomes an armor bearer. When Saul goes out with his army, he has all his equipment. He's the equipment manager, and he goes and he stands along the king. Maybe if they are in a battle, it's the job of the armor bearers to have everything ready and to hold the shields of defense up to help to defend the king. They're with the king until the battle is over. They're the last ones there. So David is serving Saul in this way. And their lives become, at this point in the story, in this point of 1 Samuel, their lives have become connected and intertwined together. And it's going to be that way now until Saul is dead, quite a way later. They're connected by these earthly events, but we know that they're connected by the thread that God is weaving through their lives and through the story, and gives us in the Bible so that we can learn from them. Everything in 1 Samuel is given to us so that we can learn something, I believe. Every story, and we have to work to see what it is. They're connected by a common call. They're called to be the king. They're anointed. They were anointed by Samuel. They were both given a great opportunity in the beginning to serve God. They're connected by music, by the harp. Who would have guessed that this shepherd boy out here taking care of the sheep at night, boring nights, I imagine most of them were, playing his music, that God was going to use that to connect him to the king, connected as an arm bearer, someone who takes care of the king and is to look out for the king and to help the king. When David leads the army into battle, they're connected by strategy. They're connected by David, who seems to have this great ability. They're connected by the story, of course, of David and Goliath and all the things that happen in that story. They're later connected by the children of Saul, to a son, Jonathan, and a daughter, Michael. And those stories in themselves are very interesting, and they do tell us a lot. They're connected in so many ways. David is taking a journey into manhood, and his character is evident all along the way. Watch for the character of David as it emerges in this story. Saul will be there along the way too. Sometimes Saul is David's friend. Sometimes David is like Saul's confidant. But other times, for Saul, David becomes his enemy, and he chases him and pursues him, and he throws the spear at him, and he tries to trap him and tries to kill him. And all along the way, David shows his faithfulness. David shows the heart that God wanted him to have at this point in his life. From the earliest days as a shepherd with his harp, and then later with his sword, David is the servant of the king. He is faithful, and he will be used by God in a mighty way. The next story that takes place from here, the next verse, chapter 17, is the story of David and Goliath. And again, the interaction between Saul and David. And that's where we're going to look the next time that I'm here and preaching, 2 weeks from today. We're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. I want to tell you about that because I want to invite you and ask you to read the story of David and Goliath again. I want to invite you to spend some time and study and think about David and Goliath. We've read this story. I don't care if you've never been to church. You know this story. You know some of the things about this story. But I want to invite you to really look into and absorb the story of David and Goliath. There's so much in the story, and we're going to turn our attention to that next time. 2 weeks from today, Pastor Shane will be preaching next Sunday morning, and then I plan to preach from the story of David and Goliath in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel 2 weeks from today. Would you stand together, please?